is Living Reconciled, a podcast dedicated to giving our communities practical evidence of the gospel message by helping Christians learn how to live in the reconciliation that Jesus has already secured for us by living with grace across racial lines. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Living Reconciled, episode 27. I am your host, Brian Crawford, and I am by myself today, running solo because I'm on the road. My friends, my really good friends, Nettie Winters, Austin Hoyle, won't be joining us, but I'm sure they will be back in an episode coming soon. But I am with a really, really, really phenomenal brother, good friend, just godly man, a gentleman by the name of Josh Warren. Josh is the campus minister for the Baptist Student Union here at Mississippi Delta Community College, where I am on location today. And Josh is a faithful father, husband, and lover of Jesus. And it's great to have Josh on. Josh, how you doing, brother?
What's up, Brian? It's good to be with you, man.
Great to be with you, man. Could you start our discussion today by just giving us a little bit about who Josh Warren is? Tell us your story of faith. Tell us a little bit about your family. And tell us how in the world you ended up at a Baptist Student Union on the campus of Mississippi Delta.
Yeah, man. So I grew up in Senatobia, Mississippi, up in North Mississippi. Spent 20 years of my life there. I grew up at First Baptist Senatobia. That's just pretty much where I spent all of my free time, really. And had a good group of friends growing up. The gospel did not really click with me personally until I was about 14 years old. I said that I gave my life to Christ and went through the motions, got baptized, said the sinner's prayer, all of those things that you're supposed to do. I did that at 9 years old, but it didn't really click with me. Mm. At 14, I really understood, all right, I need Jesus to save me. I can't save myself. Like my religious deeds are not ever going to be enough to save me. And so when I was 14, I gave my life to Christ, and then got into high school and really just kind of struggled with my identity. Like, who am I? What does it mean to follow Christ faithfully in the midst of just looking for acceptance and approval from all of my peers, family members? Like, just wanted to please everybody and found myself just kind of trying to gain everybody's approval based on who I was around. And so I dealt with that until I was in college, and I had some men that really stepped up and invested in my life when I got to Northwest Community College. Staff members at church, my BSU director, Tom McLaughlin at Northwest, just really helped me to understand what the gospel is, and that either Jesus is King and Jesus is Lord, or He's not. And there's not, in that regard, there's not a gray area.
Yeah.
And so really became sincere about my walk with Christ and really worshiping Him in more of an authentic and transparent way, rather than a double-minded, double life kind of setting, And so I really devoted myself to following Jesus fully. I think it became real to me when I was a freshman in college. And I think my salvation journey began when I was 14, but my walk with Christ became more than surface level when I was a freshman in college. And so got into the Word, got involved with a good group of friends that wanted to grow in the Lord, and they cared about me, and they weren't, it wasn't like I felt pressured in that setting to seek their approval.
Right.
Like I grew to understand, and a game changer for me was the summer after my freshman year. I went to New Mexico, served on a camp staff, met a staff member there that is still one of my best friends to this day. But that was one of the first experiences that I had where I had a brother that could know anything and everything about me, and he would still love me. I felt safe. And James 5 talks about confessing your sins to one another so that you can, you know, have healing.
Yep.
And that was something for me that I didn't know that I was missing out on. And when I experienced that, I realized, wow, this is authentic, transparent community. I can be me. I can show flaws and all around this guy, and I can still be loved. And that was a lot like what the love of Christ was like.
Yeah.
And it was an evident and tangible way that I could experience God's love for me. And so that was a game changer for me. It caused me to really want to spend more time with Jesus, with the people of Jesus, wanted to really be more real, more transparent with the people around me. And it was something that really just changed me from the inside out. So when I got to my sophomore year, everything, you know, just continued to grow. And I began to mature. I heard a guy by the name of David Platt preach at a conference the fall of my sophomore year, and he was talking about unreached people groups, which I had heard of a little bit, but he was really talking about that topic pretty in depth, and I was like, wait, there are people in the world that have not heard of Jesus,
right?
Really? So I began to think about that. I took that home with me and really just, examined it in my heart. Like, is this something that God might be calling me to do?
Yeah.
Right? Like, is God calling me to go to these unreached people groups? So my sophomore year, began praying and exploring the different possibilities of what that might look like. The summer after my sophomore year, I had the opportunity to go to India, and I spent the summer there working with South Asia 101, our summer missions team there in South Asia. And man, that was a summer for me where Josh Warren's kingdom began to come to an end, and Jesus' kingdom began to take its real place in my life. And for me, just to begin praying, all right, God, if you're calling me to do whatever, whenever, wherever, all right, if that's what you're calling me to do, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like, I want what you want for my life. Got to a point where I was completely dependent on him for everything.
Yeah.
Had a little bout with E. coli while I was there. Not super fun, but I think that was another tool in the hands of God that he used to, again, just bring Josh Warren's kingdom to an end, and just began to realize that there were some things in my life that I needed to realize, okay, I'm pursuing that because that's within Josh's kingdom, right? That's within my kingdom. That's not something that God desires for my life. So, just really got real with God and said, okay, whatever you want, I'll do it. If that's not what I want, I'll trust you to change my heart and my desires with that. And that was the summer where God really called me into ministry and called me into missions. I continue to stay involved with BSU throughout my college career at Northwest as well as at Delta State. And that's where I transferred to right after Northwest, and so thankful for my 2 years at each campus and for the ministry experience that I got through being in each place.
Mm-hmm.
In the Mississippi Delta, that was my first taste of local church ministry. That's where I really cut my teeth. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. And Drew Baptist Church, shout out.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking a chance on a kid. But man, that's where I got my first local church ministry experience. And, for better or worse, it was, something that God used in my life, in a really significant and meaningful way to help me grow, in my walk with the Lord. There were, for whatever reason, you know, what we've been talking about, at my church, you know, people that walk away from Jesus in the Gospel of John.
And, sure.
God has given me a front row seat to a lot of people that have walked away from the faith, people that have been in ministry, people that have mentored me. I've watched, man after man, family after family crumble apart. Mm. And I've had some front row seats to some really painful experiences. It was painful for my life too, but it was really painful for the people that were in those families as well. Right. Mm. And I've seen just devastation happen because of different kinds of, people being convinced that something is better than Jesus is what it boils down to.
Right.
And I've watched people fall away from their devotion, their faith in Christ that seemed to me to be genuine.
Yeah.
And when they came to a crossroads, they chose their God and it wasn't Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And had the opportunities to repent. And I think one of the probably 10 cases that I've seen, I've actually seen somebody repent in that. And it's a reminder to me of a couple of things. One, it's better to trust in the Lord than it is to trust in man.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Lord really is an everlasting rock that will not fail. He cannot fail. And that's why we can have, that we can be sustained. We can have that perfect peace in the midst of whatever we go through. And, you know, it's also a reminder that I'm not immune to any of those things. And so God has
take heed lest you fall,
man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just having a front row seat to so much of that destruction and devastation has just been a gracious reminder to me. Hey, you're not immune.
Yeah.
Watch out. Take heed, like you just said. And so just, you know, asking God to continue to develop that in me. Don't let me be deceived into thinking that something is better, more appealing, more mm-hmm. beautiful, than more worthy of my worship than you are. And I get reminders about that all the time. And so God just continues to humble me and grow my dependence on Him in that way. And so that's my story. And a little bit of my calling as well. I've been married to Amber for 11 years, and God has done some incredible work in our marriage and our lives. She is from here in the Mississippi Delta. We have been here, on this side of our marriage for 6.5 years. We got our start in New Orleans, spent 5 years there, and Amber was opposed to moving to New Orleans a little bit. She struggled with that transition. I shouldn't say she was opposed to moving to New Orleans. She was definitely called to doing that, but she struggled with the transition.
Sure. Amber was coming
from the Delta to New Orleans.
From the Delta to New Orleans, yeah, and it's quite the adjustment.
Oh, man, it really is. But, you know, what's funny is when it was time for us to move back to the Delta and time for us to leave New Orleans, it was the same thing. You know, New Orleans became home for
absolutely.
Us and a place where God really transformed us.
Absolutely.
And, man, we've been here for 6.5 years, and now we have that community, that family, and just so grateful for the lines that have fallen for us in pleasant places. And it's been that way here in the Mississippi Delta for us, for sure.
Yeah, man. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I want to continue this story, in particular, your story as you move back into the Mississippi Delta and begin your work with the Mississippi Delta Community College, BSU. But we're going to take a quick pause and come back with Josh Warren here on episode 27 of Living Reconciled. Living Reconciled is a work of Mission Mississippi, but it is not our only work. From days of dialogue and prayer meetings to consultation for schools, businesses, and churches, Mission Mississippi is eager to help you, your team, your church, and your community live reconciled. Every month, join us for our weekly prayer breakfasts on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 6:45 a.m., our bi-weekly statewide connection meetings on Fridays at 10 a.m., and a focused time of prayer on the third Thursday of the month at 7 a.m. To get details on any of our upcoming events or to learn how you can invite us to your church, business, or school, visit our website at missionmississippi.org and click on the events button
or call us at 601-353-6477.
Hey, thanks again for joining us on episode 27 of Living Reconciled. I'm your host, Brian Crawford. My good friends and co-hosts, Nettie Winters and Austin Hoyle, are not with me because I am on the road in the Delta of Mississippi. I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsors, Atmos Energy, Regents Foundation, Brown Missionary Baptist Church, Christian Life Church, Miss Doris Powell, Mr. Robert Ward, and Miss Ann Winters. Thank you guys so much for everything that you do. It's because of what you do that we are able to do what we do, and we are greatly appreciative of you. I have a good friend with me today, and his name is Josh Warren. Josh is the campus minister for the Baptist Student Union on the campus of Mississippi Delta Community College here in Moorhead, Mississippi. Josh, I want to talk a little bit about this ministry. Tell us how you got here, and then tell us a little bit just in general about it.
Yeah, so for me, the starting point was being in India through BSU Summer Missions, where God just called me into ministry, but also I knew that the way that He had wired me was that He was calling me to be a missionary. Mm. That I would be someone that would make Christ known wherever I went. And so I was genuinely open to moving wherever He wanted me to move, whatever that meant. And, you know, I ended up marrying a girl from the Mississippi Delta. We moved to New Orleans and got to experience campus ministry and be campus missionaries. Both of us did on the New Orleans BCM staff. Oh, wow. For a couple of years, and had a little short stint, a semester, just as an interim kind of deal with Mississippi Gulf Coast BSU. And in 2017, basically every door that we were trying to knock on to stay in South Louisiana closed. Mm. The door for the Mississippi Delta BSU, this mission field, was really the only one that was open. And we knew that God had done a work in our hearts. We didn't know the full extent of it, but we knew that He had done a work in our hearts that would give us a perspective and a love for the Mississippi Delta that would allow us to endure patiently in the calling that He's had for us here.
Right.
And so we knew, you know, we see the Delta for what it is, and we love it. We see the people here for who they are, and we love them. And, you know, we're not blind to the brokenness of the Mississippi Delta.
Sure.
We've talked about some of the elements of brokenness.
Absolutely.
You know, here in the Delta.
And, absolutely.
And we're not blind to those things. And people oftentimes from outside the Delta ask us, okay, well, when are you guys going to leave the Delta? No, well, God's called us to the Mississippi Delta.
Right,
this is where we delight to be.
Right.
This is something that God has given us a joy to do. This is where we want to be because God has done that work in our hearts.
I'm staggered by the fact, by the way, of how little, not just non-Christians, but how little Christians evaluate and explore their location based on calling. We just don't do we don't do as much as we used to.
Right.
It feels like, and maybe we haven't ever been really that keen on this, but you don't hear enough people saying these days, I'm here because my family and I are convinced that we're called to be here.
Absolutely.
It's not because, you know, hey, they got the best amenities or they have the best this or the best that, their intramural sports are great or whatever, but I am in Jackson, Mississippi. I am in Vicksburg, Mississippi. I am in Moorhead, Cleveland, what have you, because God has called us here to a specific work.
Right.
And we would be remiss if we dismiss that calling to move to another location.
Absolutely.
And so it's just, it's incredibly encouraging just to even hear you describe your reason for being in the Delta as calling.
Absolutely.
And not just simply of any sort of convenience in and of itself.
Yeah, for sure. I believe that if we were to just pack up and leave, we would miss out on the blessings that God has for us here and being a part of this work, of
Absolutely.
Being a part of students coming to faith in Christ, of being a part of being able to equip and send students out to the nations, to other places in the U.S. to proclaim Christ.
Absolutely.
Well, we would miss out on being a part of a healing work that God is doing in us and also through us to other students who come from that similar brokenness.
Absolutely.
That's been a part of our story as well.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit about the profile of your campus. I mean, what does it look like a day in the life of Josh Warren, Baptist Student Union Minister on the campus of Mississippi Delta Community College?
In a sense, it depends on the day. But, you know, day to day, it is a bit different because Monday through Thursday is when this campus is primarily open. And each day you want to maximize the opportunities that you have. The population of the campus is predominantly African American. Mm-hmm. But you also want to evaluate, okay, here are all the different pockets on the campus that could be ministered to. And you have to evaluate, I'm one person. There are probably 40 different, 35, Absolutely. Whatever different groups of people that I could minister to. So which opportunities is God going to open up, and which opportunities am I going to say yes to?
Absolutely.
And then which opportunities could I ask a church if they would like to be a part of this as well?
And talk to me a little bit about the connection of campus ministries to the local church in light of what you just said. Tell me a little bit about how you see the role of the campus ministry in supporting the local church, and then the role of the local church in supporting the campus ministry.
Yeah, so I mean, first of all, I think it needs to be said, obviously, if I try to do this by myself, I'll flop. Mm. I'll fall on my face. I'll be humbled. And that has been part of my story as well, part of my journey of trying to do this by myself, be self-sufficient and not lean on, people because I want to take everything on my shoulders. But, yeah. Man, when I really evaluate my calling and realize what God has called me to do here, part of it is that I have to raise awareness of the needs that exist on this campus and in this area to our local churches so that they can respond to those needs. And so that's part of what makes my job, you know, a joy as well when I see churches buy in to this vision of what God is doing on this campus. Because like I said earlier, if I move, if I decide, okay, show's over, I'm packing up, I'm leaving,
sure,
I'll miss out. But when the churches also buy into that vision of, hey, we want some of that. If we decide that we don't want to be a part of it, then we miss out
on
being a part of these people becoming
Absolutely.
Worshipers of Jesus and Jesus getting the glory that he's deserving of. So when churches buy into that vision, it brings a lot of joy to me because it's vision fulfilled. Mission becomes fulfilled. And just giving them an opportunity to be a part of loving and adopting different people groups on our campus. Well, we've got a couple of different churches here in our area that have really bought into that. One church has adopted completely a satellite campus of Mississippi Delta.
Amazing.
Another church has said, hey, we'll take the out-of-state players from this team. We'll take them, and we want to really be family to them.
Amazing.
Since they're so far away from their family.
Amazing.
And it's so cool just to see that churches are buying in and they are part of what God is doing on this campus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the same way Paul says Philippians 3 that he wants to know Christ both in the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his suffering. Mm. In other words, there's a knowledge that you can't get to unless you gain it through suffering.
Right.
There's also in the sense of when we talk about missions and we talk about engagement, most of the time the church is thinking about what we can gain. I mean, what we can give.
Right.
When we engage in missions, campus right. missions, international missions, neighborhood missions.
For sure.
But there's an experience in Christ that you can't have unless you're walking the road of service.
That's right.
And so it's not just what you're giving, but it's what you're gaining.
That's right.
There's something you cannot get in your maturation with Christ and your sanctification, your ongoing progressive sanctification. There's something you cannot get without serving.
Absolutely.
And so it behooves not just, you know, the local campus pastor to say, or campus ministry to say, hey, come help us and serve these students. But it behooves the church to say, yes, we will go because God has something for us in this service, you know? And I wish more churches understood that as it relates to missions, and more Christians understood that as it relates to our ongoing work in our communities to serve.
Right. Absolutely.
3 minutes, man. I wanna talk a little bit, if you don't mind, share some challenges and some joys as it relates to not reconciliation work, but as it just in particular, just campus ministry work. It could be about reconciliation, but share some challenges and joys that you experienced. Start with the challenge and then maybe we'll end on a high note with one of the joys.
Yeah. So, I mean, part of it is the reality that God has put me, a white male, on a campus of predominantly African Americans. And what does that mean for me? What does that mean for my calling? All right. Well, I believe that Jesus is worthy of the worship of every person on this campus.
Amen.
And our King, you know, you talked about serving well just now. That's who he is. And he washed the feet of people that he would also send out. And I want to be a part of the people on this campus coming to know Christ like that. I have yet to meet someone on this campus who is a leader in their organization who has said, no, you can't do that, you know, to me, when I say, could I serve you guys in some practical way? So one of the challenges really that I see is, all right, what does it look like for me to effectively reach our campus that is predominantly not white? And I've got, you know, a lot of churches that sponsor me that are predominantly white.
Right.
So what does that relationship look like? What does that connection look like? But it's been a beautiful thing to be a part of as well, because I've seen churches really buy into this vision, this ministry here on this campus of saying, yeah, this is our outreach arm on this campus. We're not a parachurch organization. We function as the extension of the local church. That the churches have really bought into. We're going to love this campus well. This is our local college campus. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we're going to be a predominantly white ministry and continue with our churches to be a predominantly white church, mm-hmm, in this area, if that's the goal, if that's the mission, then the reality is we'll die. The end of that road is death.
Absolutely.
And if we are going to represent Christ well, not to stay alive,
mm-hmm,
but if we're going to represent Christ,
absolutely,
well, then we need to realize what it means to love and serve the people that God has placed around us.
Yeah.
The reality is that all of our churches, this ministry on this campus, we have got to open up our eyes and realize, look at what God could do here in the Mississippi Delta. That what would it look like if King Jesus had his rightful place in the Mississippi Delta.
Right.
And the way that that's going to happen is if we really are committed to washing feet, getting our hands dirty, and pointing people to Jesus.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. No, it's incredible work, and it's challenging work, but there's such fruit on the other end of it. I mean, even last night I had a chance to join you guys in worship and share a word from James 2. And it was absolutely incredible just seeing the community on display that has been cultivated and fortified in this campus ministry, man. And so seeing what God is doing because of faithful men, faithful women in the trenches, serving this college and serving this campus was beautiful to see. And so we wish you blessing as you continue to labor and continue to pour your heart out for Jesus in this way. Man, it's been a pleasure to have Josh Warren on with us on this episode of Living Reconciled. For those of you all who are listening on our radio broadcast, we want to encourage you to subscribe to the podcast. You can do so by going to any podcast app and typing in Living Reconciled, and you can probably hit the very first one. It'll probably be ours to subscribe to it. And don't forget to share this episode, share the podcast, share the news about this episode and this podcast that's talking about all things reconciliation. My name is Brian Crawford, wishing each and every one of you a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless.
Thanks for joining Living Reconciled. If you would like more information on how you can be a part of the ongoing work of helping Christians learn how to live in the reconciliation that Jesus has already secured, please visit us online at missionmississippi.org or call us at 601-353-6477. Thanks again for listening.